Thank you. Thank you for having us here.
Devon,
years ago, there was a man whose father died when he was 3 years old. He came from a family that was very poor. They lived in Maine, which is one of the most northern states of the United States. It was a very small town. There were two streets, front street and back street. It was very small. He got saved. Although he was not educated, God used him mightily. He quit school when he was 12 years old. Because he had to help to support his family. When his three brothers went to fight World War II. He was one of the most amazing men I had ever met. After he was saved, he started a small church. Had six people. This church is huge next to his church. There was a hole in the middle of the floor. And he talked about going into all the world. And he talked about starting Bible colleges all over the world. And having churches all over the world that preach the finished work. It is absolutely amazing what one man who trusts God can do. He was not a sophisticated person. He left school in sixth grade. But he was given two doctor degrees. He was given two doctor degrees. He received them because he knew the Bible so well. This church is the result of that man's life. If that man didn't trust God, this church wouldn't be here. His name was Dr. Stevens. He was my spiritual father. When I went to Bible college, I met some amazing men and women. But it's easy to be amazing in Bible college. I graduated with 77 people. In 1991, five of them are walking with the Lord. Today, Pastor Carl same spirit as Dr. Stevens.
और उनके पास भी वही आत्मा जो डॉक्टर स्टीवन के पास था वही है.
He dared to trust God.
और उन्होंने वो साहस किया परमेश्वर पर भरोसा करने के लिए.
So he went to America.
और अमेरिका गए वो.
To go to Bible college.
Bible college में.
He had $400.
उनके पास $400 था.
He didn't know too many people.
उनके उन्हें पता नहीं था वहाँ पे वो किसी को जानते नहीं थे.
In America, $400 will not pay rent.
और अमेरिका में जो है $400 जो है उससे किसी का भाड़ा नहीं दिया जा सकता.
And there were times when he would open his refrigerator.
और इस वक्त आया कि एक समय ऐसा आया जब उन्होंने फ्रिज खोला.
And there was nothing in there.
वो खाली था कुछ भी नहीं था.
But he trusted God.
लेकिन फिर भी उन्होंने परमेश्वर पर भरोसा किया.
The reason why.
कारण क्या है?
He could do what he did in Mumbai. And the reason why Pastor Stevens could do what he did all over the world. Was because it wasn't easy. I think one of the amazing things about our churches, no matter where you go,
जहाँ भी आप कहीं पर भी जाएंगे,
maybe in India,
शायद भारत में हो,
maybe in Ecuador,
शायद वो इक्वेडोर जगह में हो,
maybe in Poland,
शायद वो पोलैंड में हो,
maybe in China,
शायद वो चाइना में हो,
maybe in Rwanda,
शायद रुवांडा जगह में हो.
All of our churches have this in common.
और हमारे सारे कॉलेजों में एक ही चीज समान है.
That they are born from trusting God.
वो सब परमेश्वर पे भरोसा करने वाले.
And it is never easy.
और ये बहुत आसान बात नहीं है.
Pastor Carl and I were talking yesterday.
Pastor Carl कल बात कर रहे थे.
And he told me a shocking statistic.
और उन्होंने एक ऐसा हिसाब बताया.
He said the average American missionary is paid $7,000 every month. That is incredible. But I have to see one other church in any of the places where we are, like the churches that we have.
और लेकिन फिर भी मैं ऐसे परिसर देखता हूँ जैसे मुंबई है और बाकी जगह मैं ऐसे परिसर देखता हूँ.
Because what we have is not purchased with money.
क्योंकि हम लोग पैसे के द्वारा खरीदे नहीं गए.
It's purchased with faith.
क्योंकि हम लोग विश्वास के द्वारा खरीदे गए.
Your pastor,
आपकी जो पासवान है,
went to Bible college and by faith.
वो भी विश्वास के द्वारा ही बाइबल कॉलेज में गए थे.
And he came here trusting God.
वो यहाँ पे आए परमेश्वर के विश्वास करके.
And you have a beautiful church.
और आपके पास बहुत असल सुंदर कॉलेज है.
I'm very blessed to be here.
मैं बहुत आशीषित हूँ यहाँ आके.
Okay, let's look at the Word of God.
अब हम बाइबल में देखते हैं.
Father, bless these words to our hearts. In Jesus' name. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to Matthew
22.
And starting in verse
36.
Jesus was asked by a lawyer, why would this be? Because the lawyer was oriented to the law. And Jesus was oriented to the law. He was not interested in the law. He was the fulfillment of the law. And he was not interested in us. fulfilling the law.
और वो जो कानून है वो व्यवस्था है वो हमारे को पूर्ण करने के नहीं आए थे.
He was interested in us receiving His grace.
वो इसमें आए थे, वो इसमें रुचि रखते थे कि ताकि हमें अनुग्रह दे, हम लोग अनुग्रह दे.
That's very different than that lawyer.
और वो बहुत अलग है जो कानून और व्यवस्था के बारे में जानता था.
And the lawyer said to him, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments, hang all the law and the prophets. Now, this is a strange thing for Jesus to tell him. Can you imagine, perhaps a young man says to a young woman, you must love me. She'll slap him. And she won't love him. But God says this to us, you must love me. And this is the first and the great commandment. Have you ever wondered why? I'm one of those people who likes to know why. Maybe that's why I studied science. I wanted to know why. Science doesn't tell you why. But there is a reason. And we can find that in the definition of love. Now, the word for love in that passage is the Greek word agape. And the word of God says that love suffers long. Some translations will say love is patient. The idea is the same. Love has long suffering patience. And it is kind. Now, the strange thing about that portion is, Jesus is telling us to love Him. Now, while He does love us, that's not what He's saying in that passage. In those verses, He did not say, I love you and I love your neighbor.
उन्होंने ये नहीं कहा कि मैं तुमसे प्यार करता हूँ, तुम्हारे जो पड़ोसी है उससे भी प्यार करता हूँ, क्योंकि उन्होंने नहीं बताया था.
He commanded, you love me. What a strange thing for God to say. And it is especially strange because 1 John 4:19 says that we love him because he first loved us. So what we see is an exchange. There is always a divine exchange. Now let's look at this idea for a moment. God commanding us to love him. Why would God want us to have long suffering patience and kindness toward him? Long suffering patience. Is the same as mercy. The kindness of God is the expression of his grace. Why would God want me to be merciful and gracious to him? I need him to be merciful and gracious to me. He is perfect. I am definitely not perfect. He is sinless and holy. I'm not sinless and holy. Yet he desires that from me. He does not need grace. He is the author of grace. I need grace. I'm the fallen man. He's the mighty king. But the mighty king wants me to be long-suffering in my patience and kind toward him. And this is why he wants that. God's ways in Isaiah 55 are much higher than my ways. And God's thoughts are much higher than my thoughts. And it is not possible for me to understand the thoughts of God. And it is not possible for me to understand the ways of God. But it is very possible for me to be close to God and to hear from him and to have an exchange with him. So Jesus said, be long suffering in your patience and kind toward the Father. Because there will be times when a person does not know why they are doing what they are doing. There will be times when God asks me to do things things I don't understand. Or maybe even more than that, there will most definitely be times when God tells me to wait. And in those times, I need to be long suffering in my patience with God. The worst thing that a believer can do is to step out of the will of God. But if I'm not long suffering in my patience toward God, then I will not be able to stay in the will of God. Because I will stop trusting Him. God needs me to be kind to Him. Why would God need me to be kind to Him? Well, the reason is simple. In those times, when I am asked for things that I don't understand, or maybe God does something in my life that I don't understand, I have to orient my thinking to the character of God. If I don't, then I won't love Him anymore. This is what will happen. I will start to accuse God that He is perhaps not truthful with me. Or perhaps I will say, God, you don't answer prayer. Or maybe I will say, God, you don't heal. Because I've been in this situation and asking you for a long time. And I still do not have what I have asked you for or what you have promised me. In those days, it's important to be kind to Him. Not for His sake, but for my own. If my attitude toward God is one of kindness, then it will not be an attitude of accusation. If I am kind toward God, I will not say, God, you don't answer prayer. And I will not say, God, you are not truthful. And I will not say, God, you do not heal. But instead, I will enter into the purpose of God. Have you ever wondered why some things with God take so long? Maybe you are praying, and maybe you are praying for years, and you are trusting, but it's taking so long. This is the reason. When I have a prayer, or when I have a call on my life, or when God gives me a
promise,
the answer to those things is not the purpose. Yes, those things may bless me. But they are the outcome, not the purpose. When I was talking with Pastor Carl yesterday, the depth of his understanding of God, and the reason why he so beautifully knows God's character, is because of the process, not because of the outcome. God's call or prayer or vision or any of those things are invitations into a process as much as they are a promise of an outcome. It's in the process that we find the secret riches of dark places. And the outcome we find blessings. In the process we find riches. The answer to prayer is not the suffering that leads to prayer. But it's in that suffering that I am trained by Christ to reign with Him. You see the process. In some respects, in some ways, is more valuable than the
outcome.
This is why the Word of God says in Isaiah chapter 40 that they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Because it's the process where I get to know Him. It's in the process where I have to draw near to Him. And it's in the process where He transforms my heart. Never be upset about the process. First Peter chapter 1 tells us that the trial of our faith is more precious than gold. How many people like the trial of their faith? I don't like the trial of my faith. Sometimes I say, God, can we skip this trial? And just get to the blessing? And
And God says it's more valuable than gold. But the reason why I do that is because I become oriented to this world. And not oriented to eternity. But I'm not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of eternity. My home is not America or India or Africa or Europe or any of these places. My home is New Jerusalem. And that's the place where He prepares a place for me. Right now, I'm in the equipment room. That's all I have here. The Bible says we live maybe 70, 80 years. If we're fortunate. And then we go home. Those of you who are over 40, what was 20 years? It's nothing. We get 3.5 of those. And then we go home. Or maybe we get 4. Or maybe we get 4 of those. But it goes by so quickly. When I was young, my father would tell me, it goes by so fast.
ये बहुत जल्दी जल्दी चली जाती है समय.
I was 16 years old.
मैं 16 वर्ष का हुआ.
And he would say, it's like yesterday that you were born.
और मुझे लगता है कि कल ही आप पैदा हुए थे जब मैं 16 साल पैदा हुए. 16 वर्ष पहुँचे तो पिताजी ने मुझे कहा कि कल ही आप पैदा हुए थे.
That's not the thing to say to a 16-year-old.
और वो बात नहीं थी कि 16 वर्ष के नौजवान को ये कहा जाए कि कल ही आप पैदा हुए थे.
We are in the equipment room. We are preparing to step through a door. And on the other side of that door is where things really begin. They don't begin here. They don't begin here. The Word of God says, do not despise the day of small things. Because I don't know what small things are. I think to myself, I have a tract in my hand. I give it to someone. What difference does it make? They will throw it away. I frequently find our tracts on the ground. Because people do throw them away. But not every time. I had a friend. He was a pastor on the mission field in Europe. He pastored in Vienna, Austria. He would go into Romania, into Yugoslavia, into Slovakia. He would go to many different Eastern European countries. And he would share the gospel.
with people who never heard before. Many people came to Christ because of him. He was saved when he was 19 years old. He came home from school one day, and on the kitchen table was a tract. His mother received it when she went shopping earlier in the day. She came home, put it on her table. She didn't think about it. But he picked it up and read it. And he was led to Christ from that track. See, it appeared like the day of small things. But really, it was the day of eternal things. There is no big or small trial. There is only the trial of your faith. And that is more precious than gold. There is only one way for a believer to reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom. And that is to suffer in the trial of their faith. But they won't suffer in the trial of their faith unless they have long suffering patience and kindness with God. I need those things. It's like a surgeon in a hospital. And I'm the one on the operating table. Now, cutting my chest open and operating on my heart, is not a pleasant thing. But it's an extremely important thing. The person who lacks long suffering and patience and kindness toward God, is like the patient in the hospital. When the doctor opens his chest, the patient said, "I've had enough, I'm going home." That's not a smart patient. Can you imagine what his wife would say? My wife would say, "Who's going to clean this up?" But you know, we do that with God. We say, "God, this is too long." Or, "God, this is too much." Or, "God, I have had enough." And God says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind. Don't let your natural mind take over. But don't let your natural mind take over. But love him with the mind of faith. And love him with all your strength. Because that is the only way that I can go anywhere with God. He will only take me as far as I am willing to go. And he will not take me any further. But if I have this love for God, then there is no end to where he'll take me. Because there is no end to where I'll be wanting to go. And maybe I'll be a 22-year-old young man with $400 in my pocket going to Bible college in America, or in Mumbai, or wherever God calls me. And I'll walk away when I'm finished. And I'll start a Bible study and a Bible school. And a church. And souls will be saved. And they will do the same. But it only happens if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, and all our strength.